It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, arts, entertainment, food topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
That's a song from Dimlit Daylight. Hi, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock, and we have a couple real special guests here. Actually, the band members from Dimlit Daylight are on with us right now. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good to hear from you.
Hey, we're glad to have you on the show, and thanks for letting us play Everywhere. You know, that's kind of that should be the ATS theme song. You guys are working on a new album now?
Yeah, we are. We're working on a third album, tentatively titled Shadows and Machines, and it should be out sometime later this year.
And I was just on your guys' website. This is dimlitdaylight.com. You can certainly check that out on the web and kind of sample some of the songs and see what their tour dates are. And, you know, there's a lot of cool pictures. And, I was looking through the site, and it's a really kind of cool interactive website. And I've noticed a lot of bands are going that way these days. I mean, I was just discussing this yesterday with a friend. You've got Radiohead coming out with, you know, this free album that they're releasing online. What do you guys think about that? And where do you think music is going in terms of distribution and the iTunes stuff and, you know, kind of an emerging group like yourselves who are becoming very popular? And what are you guys' thoughts on all that?
I think that everything is changing so quickly. It seems like almost every month there's a new device to connect us with the technology that's around us. And I think that all of the ways that we interpret how we deal with media, inclusive of music and video and shows like this, I think all of the ideas and paradigms are changing. So it's we look forward to the future with great hope and anticipation of things somewhat like the Wild West, but then even in a broader sense, more like the future where you can think it and within a matter of days or weeks, those things become reality. So to us, it's a very exciting time. I think all the paradigms of how music and media are being distributed and stuff are starting to change. I don't know where that leaves the good old boys club with they're making money with everything, but it definitely opens up the possibility for the rest of us to have access to knowledge more freely.
And that's kind of what the whole idea behind the Above Networks with Below Top Secret, Above Top Secret, and Above Politics is that be part of the revolution, because it is really a revolution in the way that information is delivered and media and artists get a chance to do more with their work. And that's the great thing about BTS, of course, Doc, is people can upload their music, they can upload their own podcasts or video casts. You know, we really haven't delved into that as much. We talk a lot about the threads on the site, but people that are creative can just upload their stuff onto the site and share it with the entire world.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell me, guys, where did you guys get started? Where do you come from? And how'd you guys meet? And tell us the band story.
Well, we've been friends for about 12 years, met each other in LA, Pasadena more specifically, and had been doing different artistic endeavors all throughout that 12 years. One in particular was a group that we had out in LA, and after we toured with that for a little while and that project came to an end, we kind of just decided that we would get back out on the road, because that's one of the things that we both really liked about the music business was being able to see the country and interact with people on a broader scale. So we put Dimlit Daylight together, decided to keep it a two-man piece and hit the road with it. Really in January of 06, January 26th of 06 was our first show in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay House of Blues. They have an acoustic venue side and more of a larger venue side. And we played the acoustic venue side, had a wonderful time, and have been on tour ever since, which is coming up on, I think, 30 months now.
Well, that's incredible. And I'm always interested, you know, for a couple stories about, you know, being on the road and sharing a car and, you know, going through all that stuff. Do you guys have any kind of fun insight of what it's like to be on the road?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it definitely tests the patience and perseverance of one's friendship.
Yeah, I think that's a given, yeah.
I think almost in some ways we've become like how you see in the future beings that finish each other's sentences and telepathically know what the next thing is going to happen or this and that. I mean, in some ways we almost move like, at times anyway, we almost move like we're coming from the same place, but in reality, you know, we're just two people trying to do the same thing out here, making good music, having fun, really, is what we're the ultimate goal, I think, of any of us is just to have fun and live life and see things and have it be the adventure that it's supposed to be. And I think that's where we really come from. But in the midst of that, you know, the messages that you take with you and in our instance necessarily is just hope and the awakening of people and opening their eyes to things and that kind of stuff is really a really neat parallel to the adventure that in and of itself is a big part of it.
I mean, you guys have a whole range of things that you write about. I mean, we were talking a little bit off air about, you know, the conspiracy theory stuff, and everywhere is almost like a Above Top Secret, Below Top Secret theme song. Tell us what little bit about the new album. What were some of your influences in putting it together? And I guess it's going to be out in a few months, right?
Well, we've been recording it in Austin, and a lot of the themes, I think, just come from the evolution of us along this 30-month journey we've been on. In that time, we've seen 21 different states and been exposed to different regional influences, I guess you'd say, both musically and then just in the way people are in general, how they live and stuff. And so some of those things have been brought into this new record as far as themes, in addition to the fact that one of the themes we always like to visit on is hope. I think the world is so full of hopelessness that somebody's got to be out there at least putting little rays of hope within what they do so that people feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. That's kind of what the name Dimlit Daylight even represents, is that even on a day when the clouds are gray and it's stormy outside, there is a ray of hope shining. You just got to look for it. So in and amongst that, that's definitely been a part of what we do along the way. But I think seeing the whole country and taking in a lot of different people groups and a lot of different customs and stuff is it unifies everybody. It makes us one. And I think those themes then come out of that unity in that way.
Well, something I'm really interested in, and this is kind of a selfish question, but I used to be involved with the booking at CBGB's here in New York. And I'd watch a lot of musicians kind of come and go, and some had the staying power. And I mean, it's certainly a testament to you guys that you guys have been together, you know, for 30 months and touring and putting in the work and getting there. I was looking through your website and noticed that you guys went to New York. What was your experience with the music scene here in the city? How did that go for you guys?
Well, when we came into the New York area, it was such a quick little visit for us, more almost sightseeing, because we didn't have any connections or networking there. So the places that we played and the things that we did there were very limited in terms of, I guess, what you would call mainstream exposure by musicians and bands. Although we did get to see Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians for free in Central Park, which was probably a highlight of the entire trip. But our exposure and what we noticed was that people got it. They got what we were saying and what we were doing, where we're coming from. They got the music, or at least the style thereof, which is interesting because in a lot of ways we both feel like we have a very West Coast flavored sound, and yet it seems to be, if not completely understood, at least appreciated by people in the East, in the Northeast, in the South. Which speaks, I think, greatly to the concept of how things can be ageless or timeless or be for every man. I don't think that we do that on purpose or even have the knowledge or wisdom to know how to articulate in that way. But I think that because of our experiences with it and willingness to be open to all different types of stuff, that those themes come out almost by osmosis, if you will. That's been really interesting to me. But as far as New York goes, I love it. I love the food. I love the people. I'd have to say in New Jersey, it's a little crazy that you can only turn right if you want to go left.
And you can't pump your own gas.
See, it's always the next one right there. Yeah, those are the two things I think that stressed my, what do they call it, culture shock. I think those were the two most culture shock things that we experienced up there. And it all happened pretty much in New Jersey. But other than that, the people are great. The food's even better. The city is alive in a way that I don't think you can really know unless you've been there. But it's a place that in and of itself, regardless of the people, has its own soul and spirit, so to speak.
I was listening to a few of your songs online, and for some reason, I don't know why, Elvis Costello kind of popped in, just because of the lyrics and how they're kind of integrated with a nice melody and everything like that. And I don't know why, but I was really interested to know kind of where, you know, you guys gather your inspiration for your songs from. Where does all that come from?
I think like any artistic expression from any musician or painter or any of it, first and foremost, it comes from our own experiences. And I think that's definitely been true for us. In a broad sense, I guess they come from the experiences that we relate and see as being experiences that everybody experiences. We just paint them with our own individual perspective, and that's what comes out in the lyrics and the music. But on a much narrower sense, I think all those things that are within each of us, like our desires or our dreams or our imaginations or our hopes and aspirations, I think those things funnel and focus themselves through any expression, almost unknowingly or ambiguous to our consciousness. They just are, because that's what's at the root of each of us, is those things. So in a way, it's very personal, yes, and in a much broader sense, it's part of the whole spectrum of the experience of life. Everybody has very similar experiences throughout life and all feel those things. So in a way, it's individual and particular to us, but on another level, those same things are particular to everybody. And that's kind of where I see it coming from.
That's a great answer, guys. And by the way, not really jumping off the subject, but talking about life experiences, can you tell us a little bit about, of course, I got you guys kind of onto the ATS-BTS thing. What do you think now? You've been on for a couple of weeks now. What do you think?
I think that it's awesome to have a I don't know who does it, if it's a group or one person or a secret group in a bunker somewhere, but whoever's running it and allowing the information to be collected in one space easily and also allowing for the communication of free thought, I think that exchange is crucial and necessary to the development of everybody. And I don't want to sound like a new ageist or some kind of weirdo or anything, but I think just having that specific train of thought be gathered in one place and available for people who want to talk about it, whether they're pro or con, whether they're with it or not with it. I think having it all in one space is a really great thing. Keep it up. I hope to see more people follow the trend and get involved.
Well, speaking of trends and different interests, what are some of the interests that you really kind of plug into on the sites, whether it's BTS or ATS?
Well, I guess like everybody, we're always interested in those things that will ultimately affect us on a personal level. So, you know, and we are doing this over the internet, so I'm trying to choose my words carefully here. You know, just the things that directly relate to our daily lives and what seems to be a misaligned system of control that seems to have less our best interest in mind and more something else in mind. And I don't think any of us really see fully that, because the way our lives are organized now, it's as though the blinders are completely invisible or hidden in plain sight to us. So I think what we do see and what we do feel or hear or are paranoid of, you know, for lack of a better word, are things that are already there in our reality that we just are unaware of because we haven't made the connection between them. We're definitely interested in that. As you can hear from everywhere, I mean, the theme of that song definitely leans towards surveillance and all that. But if you listen to the verses themselves, it's about congressing people together, having you stand in line according to your type, the archetypes of the master and the servant, you know, all of those things are present within it. And I don't think we really tried to do that. I think that's something with anybody who's awake to the reality that things may not be as they seem. I think those themes will always reoccur over and over again, just like your work and what you guys are doing at Above and Below Top Secret. Getting the word out because someone's got to hear it. So we've got to wake up to it. We've got to know what's going on, or at least be aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's like deep, man. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so nice to talk to an artist that can actually talk about their art in somewhat of a meaningful way. You know, it's like, I'm an actor here in the city. I talk to other actors and sometimes it's like, well, you know, well, what were you thinking about when you did that? Or, you know, what was your thought process? What did you bring into that? And they're like, I just wanted to sound cool and look pretty. You're like, great.
Well, we've definitely had interviews where that was the expected answer. I think this venue in what it is allows us to be more free to talk about the topics that really affect us and not really just the egos and personas of music that have been, you know, driven into us for years. I mean, if you just look at what the rock and roll lifestyle has been denigrated down into, it's a lifestyle of excess and stupidity and lack of moral or life judgment. And, those things have been venerated as great attributes to have, as things to be revered. And what I think the truth is that music and that expression, art, acting, all of those things are an expression of such great and powerful resource that we don't even realize sometimes what the overlapping ripple effect of those artistic expressions is. I mean, if you think about Rembrandt and Picasso and all the great painters of the past, those things speak volumes throughout the decades and generations. I mean, those people were painting on canvases, but what ended up happening was whole trains of thought and ideas that carried on well beyond their lifespan and into the future. And so to me, the watering down or the narrowing of those expressions into just some sort of ego or status-driven thing is exactly what the powers that be would want it to happen, because they don't want us to realize what power we have in those expressions. So,
well, it's interesting
again,
you bring that up.
And
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you know, as artists, as musicians, as, you know, because music, as with any art, is constantly living. It's breathing, it's moving, it's transgressing. It's attempting to and hopefully connecting with the masses in some way, shape, or form. What kind of legacy, I guess is the best term, what kind of legacy do you guys wish to leave with your music as it moves forward and transgresses? Right now, in your current point, I mean, it's obvious you can't predict the future. You don't know where things are going, but what do you want to leave behind?
Wow, what a loaded question. You definitely want to leave. I don't know what it is about us as a species that we want to, number one, individually reach people on a whole. I mean, I think everybody's secret goal is to do something that changes the world. I don't know where we get that from. You don't see any other species on the planet with that type of internal desire. And then the other thing is that we all want to be remembered in some way. So I think tagging on to those two very, very basic primitive premises, part of what we do it for is to be remembered and is to affect whoever we can on whatever level we can. I think that's why, though, we remain cautious with what we put into the music and the types of themes and types of words or sounds that we portray, is because what we do leave behind, whether we're aware of its ultimate effect or not, we want to at least put it out there in a position that doesn't seem like it's going to affect in a negative way. And I don't really know how to tie that in necessarily to a particular song or our sound or where we get influence from or not. But just the overall thought that if we're putting it out there and it's going to last for a long time, you don't want to be, you know, the jackass that has their thing out there wreaking havoc or whatever. Although I do know that, you know, in some instances, especially nowadays with rock and the status of it, I mean, all of us like that good hard rock driving song that does what it does. I mean, it creates emotion and brings up things within us. But as far as what we want to leave behind, I think the legacy that we would want to leave is one of hope, one of unity, one that says we're all in this together and we're all one and you know, love your fellow man and everything's going to be okay with your life. It's not as bad as it seems. And look for the silver lining in it all. I think that's our ultimate goal, though.
To all of our listeners, you can check Dimlit Daylight out at dimlitdaylight.com. You guys are on MySpace, too, and through all those portals, right?
Yeah. Just if you search us on any search engine, Dimlit Daylight, it'll bring up everything we're on. So.
Well, that's convenient.
And you guys are touring throughout the South, too, because you're going, I guess, all the way to Atlanta, Georgia. You're going to be traveling through Mississippi, all over the place, aren't you?
Yeah, we've got a lot of friends we need to meet up with and turn them on to the new record and stuff. So it'll be exciting. We're looking forward to it.
Well, guys, it's been great having you on the BTS Mix Show. And, of course, I enjoy our friendship and our relationship. I can't wait to see you guys in my area again. And hopefully, Doc, will get to see you guys in concert soon up in New York, too.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah, I hope you guys can make it up here. That'd be great.
Absolutely. If we're heading up that way, we'll let you know for sure.
Please do.
And thank you guys for having us. Keep up the good work, guys.
You bet. And we look forward to you posting on BelowTopSecret.com.
Woohoo! Thank
Have
you.
A great time on the tour, guys, and best of luck to you. Seriously. This has been
thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Something big is going on, and the American people need to know what.
All right, you're on.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And what a great interview that was with Dimlit Daylight. That was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
And they're nice guys, too. And if you get a chance to see them in your area, check that schedule. It's definitely worth taking a night off and enjoying yourself with those guys. They're fun.
How are you doing, Spencer? What's going on with you this week? Anything new?
Just a lot of work. Just a lot of work. Just kind of trying to keep up with the news. And had a garage sale last weekend. And please shoot me in the head. Murder me if I ever think I want to do this again.
not a very successful garage sale, I'm thinking. Well,
you know, it was okay. It was okay. It's just, I mean, we did it for 2 days. It wasn't just a day. We did like a Friday night, Saturday morning thing, and it just, I mean, even if you rest the rest of the weekend, you're just exhausted because you're moving furniture back, and then now I've got to call a charity and say, okay, pick up the rest of the stuff we didn't sell, and it's just a week's worth of work for, you know, sometimes it turns out okay, and this one, it was okay. It was a little light, but man, that's just a lot of work. So all in all, yeah, I probably won't do a garage sale anytime in my near future, Doc.
Well, I could use a new couch if you want to ship me a couch out. I don't know how cost effective that would be, but you could send me something.
Oh my God. Why don't I just fly to New York and make you one?
Hey, I think that might be a little easier.
Well, it's time to jump into some of the threads, and let's go to jokes, puns, and pranks. You know you're an American when it is posted by We're All Gonna Die. Boy, this is Mr. Positive, isn't it? Or Ms. Positive.
Yes,
as the case
should
be.
Just have a picture of a glass half empty of water on there, but instead it's kind of like this LSD-induced kind of picture of a rock star. But cool avatar, to say the very least, and it's kind of like you know you're a redneck when, you know, it's kind of like a list of things, so those are always a lot of fun. What do we got on this one, Spencer?
When you can't pronounce the name of the country you're invading, you might be an American win. you think Edinburgh is in the middle of the Midwest. Bush actually thought that. You know you're an American win. You can't spell Canadian. And why would you want to? And you know you're American win. A four-course meal has Mac before the name of the food or any other names of the food that you're ordering.
I'm going to have some Mac Nuggets and some Mac Frosty and some Mac Toasted Taters. I guess those aren't on the menu, but I made those up. I'll call the good people at McDonald's and see if they'll put that on there.
Yeah, and this is kind of the takeoff on the you might be a redneck win. So I mean, there's lots of these posted, and some people, you know, it is in the jokes and the puns, and some people take it very seriously, and then they get kind of angry. But here's another one from Gazrock. Gazrock super moderator, the first time on the show. Hey, first time caller. You know you're an American when your daily commute distance would mean you'd cross two nations in any other part of the world, when the same people who badmouth your nation would do anything to be there, when your national anthem plays, you actually get a tear in your eye, when you have the freedom to disagree with your government and not fear being locked up for it, and when you can buy diapers, get your oil changed, grab some fast food and some furniture, all in the same store. You might be an American. Woo!
And I can't imagine what store he's talking about when he says that. I like what D-Bates posted. He's a super moderator as well. He says, you know you're an American when you use a four-ton vehicle to burn 2 gallons of gas to go two blocks for a gallon of milk. And I would add to that, you know, maybe like a $7 gallon of milk now.
There you go.
Because I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately, but it's getting a little ugly out there.
And Razobasi 420 wrote, you know you're an American when you can't find the droids you're looking for. Yay! That was great. Then somebody said, you got that from Family Guy and Star Wars, obviously.
A direct reference. Man, I'm telling you, I pardon me for ranting about this for just a second. It's just on my mind. It's in the front, and I just got to get it off. I went to the grocery store this past weekend, and I paid $3.99 for a dozen eggs. One dozen eggs was $3.99. What's happening?
Well, gas prices obviously are really driving up the prices of everything. It's just when it costs truckers twice as much or three times as much to get the food to our table that it did a year ago, year and a half ago, then yeah. It's driving up the prices of everything. Congress is doing absolutely nothing about this, Doc. They left on the 4th of July weekend, drove their big SUVs home, and didn't give a flip about the American people or anybody else to stop this oil speculation, which is really what's driving up the prices. They're saying, you know, we should drill everywhere. We should drill here. We should drill there. Well, I'm okay with that. Go ahead and drill. But here's the problem. We don't have a supply problem. We have a speculative problem. And I tell you, Keith Overman did a fantastic job on this story and pointed out that speculation and this Enron exemption, and just, you know, Google it on MSNBC. It's a great, great video, and it goes in-depth about how this Enron, and they're back again, you know, the Enron exemption allows this wild speculation, and then banks get into it, and then other people are just, you know, other organizations and corporations are pouring money into speculation and driving the price through the roof when there is not that big a supply problem.
No, exactly. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the market right now. I mean, look at what happened last week. You've got the Freddie Mac and the Fannie Mae, which who names these credit companies, man?
It has to have a friendly name.
We'll call this one Freddie Mac, and the other one will be called Fannie Mae, and they'll be huge multi-trillion dollar mortgage investment companies. But, I mean, look what happened. And then Indie Mac, what's going on here? I think there's some sort of conspiracy in there. I'm sure we'll leave that to the boys over at ATS. But, you know, I mean, all these banks are crashing, man. I mean, this is not good. This is, you know, when there are people standing in line, and there are runs on the banks, and there are government officials standing outside handing out FDIC pamphlets, you know, no good can come of this. I'm not trying to drop a bunch of doom and gloom into this or anything, but my gosh, you know, this is going to turn out to be pretty ugly pretty fast, and I don't know where this thing's going to drop. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, that and the taxpayers get to bail everybody out. And that's the problem with this whole thing, is they're taking this major gamble that, I mean, the loan may or may not be used by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Big Mac and Donna Mae and Barbara, and who knows who else is going to be using the loan. But it comes from the American taxpayers. Not that we're not overburdened enough. Not that we don't have to bail out, you know, people. Oh, don't even get me started. Okay, this wasn't supposed to be this big a rant, and this was your rant. I'm sorry. I don't want to step on your rant. This is your rant. You finish your rant. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, my rant actually leads us right into our next post, and this comes out of the Breaking General News Forum. And this is Anheuser-Busch agrees to sell itself to InBev, which is, of course, a Belgian beer company. And the news report says this comes from, this is posted by Bunch, again, in our General News Forum. And this is out of St. Louis. Anheuser-Busch reportedly has agreed to be acquired by Belgian brewer InBev for about $52 billion. The deal, being reported by the Wall Street Journal, would create the world's largest brewer and put the iconic American beer maker in the hands of Belgian-based company behind Stella Artois and Beck's Beer. And, of course, the big argument that, of course, Budweiser and InBev and all of the people who expect to make a dollar off of this deal are saying, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal for a Belgium company to own an American landmark company. I mean, this is... I haven't been this sad since Levi's went overseas. You know, there was that whole debacle where Levi's had to start their production overseas. An American trademark, you know, a company that was able, A, to grow to the size it was because of the morals and foundations of what America used to be, is now reached a point through our like you just said, Spencer, this greedy speculative market, I guess is the best way to say it, that says, you know, now you have to make your jeans even cheaper, and the only way you can do that is to do it overseas. And the big argument here is that, well, you know, the beer will still be brewed here in the States. It'll be made by Americans, for Americans, distributed by Americans. Well, I say that's BS, because Americans are not going to reap the benefits of those profits. Americans are not going to see any of that. And that's what helps keep a brewery like that, you know, solvent to a certain degree. And here you have a company in Belgium who's saying, you know, we're going to take those profits. We're going to, you know, we're going to take control over all of this. And Anheuser-Busch just doesn't make Budweiser and Bud Light. A lot of people think that's, you know, that's all they produce. They produce, I think, Modelo brand beer. They do Corona. I'm thinking tequila. You need to see where my mind is. They produce Corona. You know, they make a lot of other beers. And InBev already is, I think, 30% or so of the market. So once they acquire Anheuser-Busch, InBev is basically going to become like the Microsoft of beer. You know, it's going to become a virtual monopoly where they have cornered the market literally on beer production. And of course, you'll always have your little local microbreweries and slightly larger breweries. But this is kind of a big stab to America and is totally symbolic, I think, of what's happening in this country right now in terms of greed and the dollar being the bottom line and not the people and the American citizen and companies and people that made this opportunity possible in the first place.
I think you're right on target, Doc. And here's the other thing. Things that you don't hear about in the news, it's when our government does it, when they sell off the infrastructure of the United States. Okay, and we can leave this to the ATS guys. But when they sell off the infrastructure of the United States, for example, Texans, what is wrong with you? I mean, I defend you on the board, and I want you guys to get your independent spirit back and crush this stupid highway they're trying to put up right up our rear here, what they're doing is they're taking away people's land. Some of them have had the land grants from when Texas was formed, and it's been in their family for years. Governor Rick Perry just decided, well, you know what? We're going to build this superhighway, this NAFTA superhighway. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to take all that land away. It's going to be miles wide, and it's going to run right up through Oklahoma, and we're going to do all this stuff, but we're going to take away your land to do it. Oh, by the way, did I mention that it's not even going to be an American-owned company that's doing it? It's Spain. It's a Spanish company. Juan Carlos of Spain is running this company. And then they're going to charge us to drive on our highways that they built in our country, and this is not the only highway they've done this to in this country. They're selling off our infrastructure, and they want to make money. Well, you know what? There's other ways to make money than selling us out to the highest bidder. And unfortunately, with the dollar the way it is, you're going to have foreign investment come in. But this happened before. Remember when the Japanese came in and wanted to buy a lot of the things, and then our economy got stronger again, and then we were able to buy those things back, and then it was more profitable for Americans to own it. Well, maybe that'll turn around again. But when you see the government starting to sell off the things that we paid for with our own tax money, or steal our land and then build something and give it to another country, that's treason. Hello. And somebody needs to get, besides me, somebody stand up and go, that's wrong. That's not right. And there are some people that are really actually, I'm not the only one. There's groups of Texans that are actually rebelling against this idea of stealing people's private property to give it to a foreign country. That's ridiculous.
And then charging you to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So hopefully Texans will get that come and take it attitude again, and we'll say no to this, and then get rid of these carpet bagging freeloaders from the New World Order. There we go. And again, enough of my little rant. Thank you very much.
Well, Spencer, rest assured, my friend, Texans will soon be able to have their own little pie in the sky, if you will. Well, actually, it's a banana in the sky.
Banana cream pie. That'd be sweet. Oh, no pun intended. Yeah.
This is in the jokes, puns, and pranks forum, and the topic of this, the title of it's brilliant. It's a geostationary banana over the state of Texas, and if you go to their website there, it's these two guys out on the Texas plain, and they've stepped out of their pickup truck, and they're pointing up at the sky just to see a kind of a small banana sitting there. And if you go to this website, it gives you all of this information about this is a project that some people are trying to put together, and their tagline is that the only thing holding them back is funding. Apparently, no one wants to fund a project to put an image of a giant banana up in the sky over Texas, believe it or not.
However, I did hear that George W. is investigating the possibility. As long as he can see it from Crawford, it's okay. He's going to go ahead and okay the funding right after they build the super highway.
That's where all that secret military budget funding is going to make a giant banana in the sky over Texas.
Boy, that's really going to keep the aliens away. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, unless they're riding in on the banana. Could you imagine that? A bunch of little green men riding in on a banana. That just...
Planet of the Apes! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! It's happening!
And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Tracy. Along with Doc Hancock, I host the new BTS Mix Show. We have a lot of fun, and when we're done with our shows, we like to head over and listen to our sister shows, the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case on the Above Network LLC. The ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous is the source for the latest information on breaking stories, conspiracy theories, and some stuff that's just plain weird. Johnny and Dave have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their field. When I need the latest news and insight from the political arena, I log on to the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin really break it down for me. They discuss member posts, interview members about their stance on the issues, and they have access to today's noted political figures and authors. So come on over and deny boredom with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, the marvelous Doc Hancock, on the BTS Mix Show. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network LLC.
Are you guys on board with this idea, really?
You're the one with the computer. Look it up.
Go, go, go!
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy, and it's time to jump into the Relationships Forum. This one's Let's Talk About Sex, Baby. Yeah. fuck about you and me. This is posted by Spartan King Leonidas. Doc, take it away.
Wasn't that a Salt and Pepper song, I think? Salt and Pepper. Wasn't that Salt and Pepper? I can't remember sang that song.
Push it.
I am so white. It's not even funny.
Never do that again, Spencer.
Sorry.
Spartan King Leonidas wants to talk about sex, baby. He wants to talk about you and me. And he says, okay, so this thread is about sex, passionate, horny sex. There is, of course, a catch, always is, when it comes to this forum area, being psychology, philosophy, and metaphysics. Metaphysics and sex. I can't wait to read this one. This thread is not for the silly, idiotic talk of committing the act of sex, as in being descriptive and being dirty, but about philosophically an incident that happened tonight at work when I went in. Would you have sex just to have a child? Tonight when I got to work, someone I have not seen for the better part of 4 years was working again. She has decided to move back to the area and is working where I work again. This woman, the last time I worked with her, wanted one thing from me, sex. Okay, so you're wondering what the problem is and why I brought it to ATS. The problem is this woman wants to have sex with me just to get pregnant. No relationship, no money, just wants a donor of body fluids in order to get knocked up. So,
there's always no, danger, Will Robinson, danger.
I think Spencer's crazy meter went off there for just a second.
When you said there's no, just a swap of body fluids, that's all we need, until the child enters the world, and then there's all things like paternity suits, and it doesn't matter. I mean, if you had a contract, you know, I guess that would be fine. But if you didn't have a contract, they could come back and say, oh, well, you got me pregnant, and I'm going to have a baby, and you need to pay child support for 18 years. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, and that's not good. So, danger. Okay, I'll let you continue now that I've inserted warning here.
I think that This is the brunt of this topic. It's the philosophical question, and it reminds me actually of my favorite movie of all time. It's The Big Lebowski, where Maude asks Jeffrey Lebowski, or the dude in this case, just to have sex for the sake of conception. He doesn't realize it at the time, but she uses him for sex, and then says, "No, this was just a one-time thing. I'm conceiving, and I wanted your sperm donation for the conception." You obviously have to weigh the intentions, but I'm kind of with Spencer on this one. That's all fine and dandy for a movie and everything, but, you know, there are big-time emotions involved there. Even if you're emotionless during the actual process of it, and even if you convince yourself that maybe this is an all right thing, maybe this is okay to do, you still have, you know, the whole situation. What happens when she gives birth to the baby? Do you want to have zero contact with the child? I mean,
this is not The Big Chill. You know, this is you're going to bring a human life into this world, and you, like it or not, that's part of your DNA. They're going to have part of your traits, and they're going to be your offspring, regardless of whether you think you're going to have any responsibility in that matter or not.
I think that puts a very fine point on it, Mr. Spencer. And, you know, Marge writes, Marge 6043 writes and says, has it ever come to your attention that there is more body fluids begging than meet the eye? Truly, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to deduce it. If somebody just wants a sperm donor, all they have to do is visit a sperm bank. I think you're putting too much attention to an issue that merits none.
Yeah, you should probably get a test, too, just in case. In case, you know, I've got this great STD I'd like to share with you. Yeah. No! Plus, I mean, and Santa Claus makes up a great point here down in the thread a little farther. He says, I'm also not giving a woman my seed when she might end up to be a bad mother. The implications are just too vast and expansive. You don't know how you'll feel in months or even years from now about it. So I think my vote is no. And I agree.
Now you've got your advice, gentlemen. When approached, just say no to the donation. I mean, unless you're getting paid really good money for it, and then, you know, there's always room for negotiation.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you don't care, then fine. Okay, fine. You know, there's some, but there are actually some of you, and I probably got some in my family too, that should not jump into the gene pool. Please stay out of the gene pool.
And let's move on to a slightly lighter topic here, Mr. Spencer. Are you going to the movies this weekend? I know I sure am.
Man, if I can get a ticket to the new Batman movie, you bet I'm going. And I've even thought about making the midnight movie, which for me is just like flipping my entire schedule around. But I would go just to see Heath Ledger's performance, just to see this great epic that is called Batman The Dark Knight.
Well, you know, it was interesting. You were talking about the midnight showing. I was just reading earlier today that the midnight showings are actually selling out for this thing. So they're starting to have 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. showings of this movie. So if you miss the midnight one, you can't make it in because all the tickets are sold out. Fear not, my friends. You can stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and go check it out, which, I mean, this thing is just going to slaughter the box office. I don't even want to know what this thing's going to do to the box office opening weekend. This thing could be bigger than Titanic.
Well, they were estimating that, and it probably will be worldwide. They were estimating that it would probably take in $130 million. The movie theaters, and I mean, the movie industry studio released numbers that, oh, we're going to kind of downgrade that to $90 million. If we can take in $90 million over the weekend, it'll be okay. No, I think they're actually underestimating it. This thing could take in, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see every showing of Batman sold out. I mean, obviously it won't be everywhere, but it's a good possibility. This is going to be the movie of the year financially and star-wise, and just the presentation of the movie and the hype that's leading up to this, of course, with the unfortunate loss of Heath Ledger. It's just increased the hype by tenfold.
It's building on such a great first movie, too. I think that's the thing. You know, it was interesting when the last Batman came out, I think people were a little skeptical of it. They're like, why are they reinventing something that was already so good? Because I was a huge fan of Tim Burton's Batman. I thought it was one of the better movies ever made, and you know, Jack Nicholson is the Joker. I mean, come on. And, of course, Michael Keaton played an awesome Batman. This thing came out and just took everybody by surprise. I went to go see it. I couldn't believe how good the movie was, and they took a completely different angle on it, a completely different spin, and they really looked at how Batman could actually physically, plausibly be a real individual, a real superhero, a real vigilante, if you will, where the training could come from, where the technology could come from. And that's just awesome, man. I mean, that's really cool stuff. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a good time. If you can get tickets, by all means do. Go out and check it out. Catch it. I know I'm going to try, although I'm probably going to try and catch like a Saturday matinee. But I don't really like crowded theaters that much. So.
Oh, you don't think a Saturday matinee for Batman is going to be crowded?
It might be. I might be smoking the crack again. But, you know, it should be very interesting, and I'm very excited to see it.
And just to add something to that, I think that George Clooney said, well, I'm the guy who single-handedly killed off the Batman franchise. George, it wasn't your fault, really. When they started going campy with Batman, because the comic books had a following. I think Batman's following has been pretty steady. He's been one of those superheroes that, I mean, he's always had his following. You either like Batman or you didn't, and it's just got that appeal. But the 60s campy version of that was kind of cute. And a lot of people went, man, that's kind of cute, and we're done with that. And when they brought Michael Keaton back, and he had the humor and the seriousness, because they didn't really want Michael Keaton to play it, because they didn't want that campy role. They didn't want that campy portrayal of Batman. And then Jack Nicholson as the Joker, of course, a classic, and I agree with you, that's one of the best Batman ever made. But then it got campy again. Then you go through Val Kilmer and George Clooney, and the list goes on, and you go, okay, enough. And then finally they went, okay, let's take it darker, much like the comics. And then the fans went, oh, finally, ding, 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 the light comes back on. So I think this one is going to be fantastic. The imagery of this, and actually they posted the first 5 minutes of the movie. A movie reviewer recorded the first 5 minutes of the movie with Heath Ledger, and it looked great. If you don't want to spoil yourself for the first 5 minutes, don't watch it, but it's definitely, it looks amazing.
Very, very cool stuff. And they're keeping Joel Schumacher away from it. Joel Schumacher ruined Batman earlier. So that's a bad Joel Schumacher. You stay away from Batman, Joel Schumacher. You hear me? No more Batman for you.
Naughty, naughty. Dirty, dirty, nasty, dirty, dirty.
At least I poop on myself on purpose.
Well, Mr. Spencer, I think that takes us right into the BTS Mix screen test. And this week, I'm going to relinquish my duties because Spencer just had a really great one. And it's certainly stumped the hell out of me. So, Spencer, why don't you go ahead and take away this week's BTS Mix Screen Test.
All right. This one's going to be short and sweet and incredibly difficult, and it's worth 5,000 BTS points. This blazing star burned out way too soon. We'd like to have seen him back in the saddle, but it was not to be. He did play the namesake of the artist formerly known as. Can you name what movie that was, and who this actor is? If you can, 5,000 BTS Mix screen test points for you.
This is a good one. I'm going to have to do my homework on this one and get back to it. So good luck to one and all. Again, this can be worth 5,000 BTS points for the correct answer. And we had a new winner last week, which was very exciting.
Yes, congratulations to Roswell One, who got some BTS points. Congratulations to you. Okay, Silent Shadow, time to make a comeback this week. And that does it for this edition of the BTS Mix Show. Hope you have a great week. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.